Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, eighth chapter, text 22. Kalena soja purusha yusabi. Kalena soja purusha yusabi. Pravritta yogena viruddha bodha. Pravritta yogena viruddha bodha. Swayam tadantar vidaye vabhatam. Swayam tadantar vidaye vabhatam. Apashyata pashyata yannapa purvam. Apashyata pashyata yannapurvam. Kalena soja purusa yusabi. Pravritta yogena viruddha bodha. Swayam tadanta ridaye vabhatam. Apashyata pashyata yannapurvam. Anybody else? Thank you. Okay. Kalena, in due course of time. Sa, he. Ajaha, the self-born Brahma. Purusha Ayusa, by the duration of his age. Abhi Pravritta, being engaged. Yogena, in meditation. Virudha, developed. Bodha, intelligence. Swayam, automatically. Tat antaridaye, in the heart. Avabhatam, manifested. Apashyata, saw. Apashyata, did see. Yat, which. Na, not. Purvam, before. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. At the end of Brahma's 100 years, when his meditation was complete, he developed the required knowledge, and as a result, he could see in his heart the Supreme within himself, whom he could not see before with the greatest endeavor. Purport. The Supreme Lord can be experienced only through the process of devotional service, and not by one's personal endeavor in mental speculation. The age of Brahma is calculated in terms of divya years, which are distinct from the solar years of human beings. The divya years are calculated in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8, text 17, Sahasra Yuga Paryantam Ahar Yad Brahmano Vidu. Brahma's one day is equal to 1,000 times the aggregate of four yugas, calculated to be 4,300,000 years. That's the four yugas. And it's 1,000 times that. That's one day of Brahma. On that basis, Brahma meditated for 100 years before he could understand the supreme cause of all causes. And then he wrote the Brahma Samhita, which is approved and recognized by Lord Chaitanya, and in which he sings, Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. One has to wait for the mercy of the Lord before one can render service unto him and know him as he is. Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karamayam Dirati Swapadantikam. Okay, so Lord Brahma had to really endeavor for a long time before he became successful. It's described here that he went for 100 of his years, Prabhupada says, on that basis. And so his one day is 4.3 billion years, and it's like 100 years of those 4.3 billion year days. It comes out to 311 trillion 40 billion years. That's, you know, mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. So that's a long time. It really took him a long time. And it's described here right in the beginning of the purport that he, at first he was unsuccessful, as we just heard earlier, you know, last week or so, that he tried to go, you know, he realized, hey, I'm sitting on a lotus flower, and there's a stem, and the stem is going down into the water. So maybe if I go down the stem and get down to the, let me get to the bottom of this. He was the original, you know that expression, let's get to the bottom of this. Lord Brahma was the original, let's get to the bottom of this person. He wanted to try to get to the bottom of it, going down the stem, going into the water, and finding out, what the heck's going on here? Where did I, you know, where'd this stem come from? Where does this lotus come from? That's probably where I came from too. But he couldn't. He was unsuccessful. So he did the whole thing, and then at some point he just backed off. He realized, whoa, no, it's not gonna work like this. So he went back up there, and he meditated. And he was meditating for, doesn't specifically say how long that first part took him, but anyway, the whole project took him 100 years of his whole lifetime, basically, 311 trillion, 40 billion years. And finally, at the end, as it says here in today's verse, he developed the required knowledge. And as a result, he could see in his heart the Supreme within himself. But so he developed the required knowledge. That also did not happen as a result of his endeavor. His endeavor was a factor. But the ultimate determining factor of him developing the required knowledge was that Krishna was pleased, ultimately. Krishna was pleased, and Krishna decided, okay, this guy's trying so hard. I'm going to give him the mercy. That's explained in the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. There's the four essential verses. Prabhupada refers to them as the four essential verses. And the fourth one is Krishna says, Tesham eva anukampartam, aham ajnana jam tamaha, nasyami atma bhavashto, jnana dipena bhashvataha. That to show them causeless mercy, I whom dwelling within their heart, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. So that's what Lord Krishna ultimately did for Lord Brahma. Being pleased with his penance or meditation like that, Krishna revealed himself. It's not like Lord Brahma kind of discovered him. It's like there's a game that kids play, hide and seek. And in the beginning of the game, there's one person who's got he's the person who has to try to find somebody. So everybody scatters and they hide. And the person has to try to hunt him down. And it's not like that. You don't find Krishna like that. It's not like hide and seek and I found you. No. Only revealed. This is the Prabhupada says in the last sentence of the purport. One has to wait for the mercy of the Lord before he can either render service unto him or know him as he is. Just this morning, Katma was reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and he quoted that verse which Prabhupada quoted frequently, Atak Sri Krishna Namadi Nambaved Giraya Mindriye Sevan Mukhe Hijivado Svayameva Sparathyada, that Krishna can't be understood by the blunt material senses. In other words, he can't be understood by any in mundane endeavor, including that of the mind, speculating. But Sevan Mukhe Hijivado Svayameva Sparathyada, when Krishna's pleased by our service, he reveals himself. So that's what's really happened here with Lord Brahma. He his first attempt was a total failure, and then he was meditating for the rest of his lifetime, basically. And then Krishna decided to give him some mercy. And he came to the conclusion, Lord Brahma came to the conclusion that Krishna was the cause of all causes. And it's mentioned here in the purport that at that point he wrote the Brahma Samhita. And it's significant to note that it was recognized by Lord Chaitanya. So we're in the Brahma Sampradaya. Today is Madhvacharya's appearance day. Madhvacharya is like our intermediary Sampradaya Acharya. And our original Sampradaya Acharya is Lord Brahma. And Lord Chaitanya is also the Brahma Madhva. The Gaudiya refers to Lord Chaitanya. We're in the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. And so that's why it's significant to mention that it was recognized by Lord Chaitanya. So we accept this conclusion. Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami, that Govinda is the original person, and Lord Brahma goes on to say from there that I'm going to worship him. And so it's mentioned that we're supposed to try to follow in the footsteps of the predecessor acharyas. So follow in the footsteps for us. How do you follow in the footsteps of Lord Brahma? Not by sitting on a lotus and meditating for a really long time. No, following the footsteps for us means accept the conclusion. They've presented to us a certain siddhanta, a conclusion. And so our program is to take that up, accept that, and put it into practice in our life, apply it. So for us, following in the footsteps of Lord Brahma means to chant, dance, and take prasadam. That was the program that Lord Chaitanya 500 years ago gave us. That's the practical application. The practical application of accepting, of following in the footsteps of Lord Brahma, who meditated for 311 trillion, 40 billion years, in this day and age, at this time, is to chant, dance, take prasadam. That's in a very kind of metaphorical sort of way. But basically what Prabhupada gave us, in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, it's a movement to help us develop, reawaken or develop our love for God. And, you know, the basic program or the basic message of the Krishna Consciousness Movement is lead a pure life, you know, means no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling. Lead a pure life and engage in devotional service. Chant the holy names of God, you know, in a devotional way, trying to avoid the offenses, and engage in devotional activities. And in this way, we will develop our love for Krishna. You know, that it's everything's designed for that purpose. That's the goal. You know, that's the goal of everything that we're doing, to, you know, that we can develop or reawaken our dormant love for Krishna. So everything is that we're doing is a means to then. That's what's important to Krishna. That's what's important to Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, you know, Prabhupada's in the 1865, Prabhupada says, this next instruction by Krishna is the most important instruction in all the Vedic literatures. So that instruction is, Krishna says, always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, offer your obeisances unto me, like that. Yeah. Earlier on in the 9th chapter, Krishna says, if one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, fruit, flower, water, I accept. So the idea is Krishna's looking, he's hanging out for that love and devotion. You know, it's basically, you know, the whole world, it's Krishna's saying in many, many different ways. He says it throughout in the Bhagavad Gita, and he's saying it almost throughout the entire creation. You know, I'm loving you, living entities, love me back. That's what the whole purpose is. That's the big opportunity of being a human, taking a human birth in the cosmic manifestation. It's an opportunity to exercise our free will and take that option, you know, take up that option to try to love Krishna back. And that's the most important thing a person can learn, you know, a living entity can learn while they're here in the material world. There's so many different things that are being taught, but that's like the ultimate lesson. And this whole Krishna conscious movement is set up for that purpose, to help living entities who have come to that point in their evolution, to give them the opportunity to plug in to a scientific realized program of how to develop their love for God by doing exactly the things that we're doing here, chanting, cooking for the deities, worshiping the deities, cooking for the deities, dressing the deities, offering, you know, all these different activities that Prabhupada has given us. They're all perfect, and they're all perfectly designed to help us reawaken our dormant love for Krishna. Okay? So that's what the Krishna Consciousness Movement is ultimately all about. And so we should try to take as much advantage of that as possible. You know, Prabhupada, he said that enthusiasm. He said, sometimes I'm cooking, sometimes I'm reading, sometimes I'm writing, sometimes it was one other activity. And he's making the point that he variegated his activities. This way I maintain my enthusiasm. So it's good for devotees to participate in all the different aspects of temple life. You know, it's, yes, of course, it's good to learn how to distribute books, Prabhupada said. I want all my disciples to learn the art of distributing books. But also, Prabhupada also wanted devotees to learn how to cook, to learn how to, you know, dress the deities. It's good to know all these different things. And you'll see when you do these activities, you can feel how it's helping you. It's helping you develop your devotional attitude. I never got to dress the deities much, but I know I did a certain amount of cooking when I was in Australia and New Zealand. And wow, it's a real meditation. You know, you really have to kind of, you get absorbed in, because you're trying to do it. You have to do a certain amount of things, and you have to do them nice, you know, has to be on time, and you have to do it nicely, and you're always trying to improve your standard. So it's a real meditation on pleasing Krishna. So it's very helpful. And, you know, it gave me the realization that, wow, all these different things that, you know, Prabhupada gave us, they all work. They're all perfect for helping us develop our love for Krishna. So, so we should try to take, we're here, you know, after many births, Bahunam Janmanam Ante Gyanavamam Papajante Vasudeva Savamiti Samahatmasadulabha, that after many births and deaths, one is actually in knowledge, comes to the Krishna conscious movement. Such a great soul is very, very rare. So we should try to, you know, take full advantage of this opportunity of having, you know, being able to practice regulative principles of devotional service. Go to bed early, rise early, make sure we're at Mangal Arati, make sure we're chanting 16 rounds, trying to avoid the 10 offenses. And then beyond that, try to engage in as many different types of service and learn how to do things, you know, as you possibly can. That's, you know, that'll keep us in happy, enthused, happy, and solidly situated in Krishna consciousness. And just by doing that, you know, following that simple program throughout the rest of our lives, that'll, it's going to go back to Godhead. I mean, that's you know, that's enough. You know, Prabhupada didn't say that, well, if you just do these things, but then you got to do this. No, just follow that basic program. You know, chanting the rounds, regulative principles, fully engaging in devotional service in whatever, you know, way we possibly can. And at the end of this life, going back to Godhead. And in the meantime, we'll try to, you know, attract and inspire as many other people as possible. But that's not in, it's not in our control. You know, we can try different things, preaching a different way, different. But ultimately, we shouldn't never be discouraged if you know, this, we don't have a big turnout in terms of number of people coming forward to join us here. It's like the expression, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. And that's true. People have their free will. So we'll try to lead the horses to water, you know, get people to interested in Krishna consciousness. But if they don't drink, you know, what to do? We did our duty. We went out there and offered them the water, so to speak. So, and on the point of patience, oh yeah, well, that's another thing we have to learn from Lord Brahma. I kind of, you know, indirectly said this. We have to look, Lord Brahma, he had, really had to go at it for a long time. His whole lifetime, basically, before Krishna revealed himself. So we shouldn't be, and that was, you know, as I mentioned, 311 trillion, 40 billion years. So we shouldn't be impatient. We shouldn't think that, you know, we're going to become pure devotees overnight. You know, no. We're not even going to become pure devotees over Brahma's night, what to speak of on. It can take a while. We have to be patient. We have to be in this for the long haul, so to speak. And so it's something we learned from Lord Brahma. And, oh yeah, I could share a couple things here. On this point of getting Krishna's mercy, this is an excerpt from a letter Prabhupada wrote to Brahmananda in 1968. He said, regarding Krishna's being kind upon us should be on the principle as Arjuna followed. The principle is that Krishna was Arjuna's most intimate friend. He could have brought victory to Arjuna without any endeavor by Arjuna. Neither that principle was advised by Krishna, neither Arjuna followed it. As a military man, Arjuna fought his best but the victory was brought him by Krishna. So here's the point. Now Prabhupada gives the principle here. Similarly, we should try our best to our best capacity and victory will come from Krishna. We should never sit idly and ask Krishna to do everything. That is the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. So ordinarily we have to try our best to our best capacity to achieve something. And by Krishna's grace, all of a sudden we shall see everything is there. This sort of help from Krishna is transcendental happiness. So he's kind of given some insight into how it works. We have to try, you know, be enthusiastic, determined, patient like that. And when Krishna is good and ready, he will reciprocate. And when he does, as Prabhupada says here, that sort of help from Krishna is transcendental happiness. I like the way Prabhupada says, by Krishna's grace, we have to try our best to our best capacity to achieve something. And by Krishna's grace, our endeavor is there. It's a factor. But ultimately, by Krishna's grace, all of a sudden, we shall see everything is there. That sort of help from Krishna is transcendental happiness. So I'll stop there. Does anybody have any question or comment? Ananda Kirtan.
So Hare Krishna. I was always under the concept that Lord Brahma, for his whole lifetime, 311 trillion years, he was creating universes and then it'd be destroyed over and over again. And he would be doing that for 100 of his years. It seems like 100 years for him, but it's 311 trillion years.
Don't forget the 40 billion.
40 billion.
Yeah. Don't shortchange it.
And then I also I have the question that if he's meditating for 311 trillion years, then that's his whole lifetime. And then Krishna reveals himself and tells him how to create the universe. So how do we understand that?
Yeah, I couldn't either. The chronology kind of was, when I was thinking about, you know, preparing the class, it kind of bewildered me a little bit. Because it's making it sound here as if his whole life was just getting to that point of understanding Krishna, but then he had a lot of work to do. But I read on, and it seems like, you know, at least as far as the rest of this chapter goes into the next chapter, seemed like he had enough time because, in the subsequent verses, it describes how, you know, he offered prayers to Krishna, and Krishna gave him the ability to do what he had to do in terms of, you know, manifesting the universe. So I don't know if he did it. If the proper way to understand it is he just kind of squeezed it in right at the end of his life there, or I don't know exactly. I wasn't clear on the chronology of the whole thing. But it seems as if when you continue reading on in this chapter and the next, he did it in his lifetime. It must have been towards the end.
So does it say anywhere that how long the material universes exist in the life of Lord Brahma?
How long the material universe exists?
Yeah,
during the
I mean, there's one. Oh, okay, there's 1,000 yuga cycles in one day of Brahma. But does it say how many 1,000 yuga cycles there are until
in the existence of the universe? You know, just saying that it's not necessarily the case that the universe exists for the entire lifetime of Lord Brahma. What percentage or what part of the lifetime of Lord Brahma does the universe exist for?
Yes.
Question. I don't know the answer to that. Maybe Archita does. I don't know the answer to that.
He meditated for 100 years, which, from his calculation, which would seem to be his entire life. Yet, we have description that at the end of every day, he goes to sleep and there's a partial devastation. We just heard that. And then after he wakes up again, then he recreates. By the way, he doesn't create universes. He creates the content of the universe. The universe is created by the Lord. And then using the ingredients given by the Lord, he does subsequent creation. Sarga and Visarga. So Visarga is the subsequent creation. He takes those ingredients and he makes the different planets and stuff within the universe. So it is kind of confusing that if he meditated his whole life, 100 years by his calculation, then where does the day and night come in? So it's really not clear. But it's clearly stated that he does have a day and a night of the same length where he goes to sleep, and while he's sleeping, everything from the lower planets up to the higher planets is devastated. Then when he wakes up, he recreates everything that was devastated. So it's really not clear when this particular meditation happened and how it fits into the entirety of his creative activities. Mm-hmm. At least it's not clear to me.
Some further study is required. Anybody else? Any questions? Okay, thank you very much. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam.